Good morning. So we spent the entire share yesterday on really these words, these three words. You note that there's a double crying, there's a mention of a specific night. And, using Rashi, we gave three pshatim in Balayla. And using that Rashi, we gave three pshatim in Bechos Sivcheh, in addition to the original two that we had. Mentioned the Marab Mirattenberg speaks about how Eicha is only read at night. And that's where we ended. We gave, maybe five pshatim in Bechos Sivcheh. It's noted that there are, later on in the I don't know if we're probably not going to get to it, but there are more, there's more of a discussion about the double of everything, of this Bechos Yivkeh. Of course, when Yeshayahu consoles Klal Yisrael after Tisha B'Av, not actually after Tisha B'Av, but for us after Tisha B'Av, how does he console them? What's the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av? Nachum Ami. So it's also a response to the Bechos Yivkeh. This is a double suffering, and there are allusions to it later on in the first parak of Eicha. But we'll call it there on these words for now. Continues, V'dimosa alechaya in la minachay mikolo aveha. So her tears are on her cheek, and she doesn't have a menachim, she doesn't have a comforter, a consoler. Mikolo aveha, from all those who love her. All of her friends betrayed her, and they have become enemies. Okay, so what does it mean that that her tears are on her cheek? What might that indicate? Fresh. Right, that the tears are right there now. It's not just like red puffy eyes. It's happening right now. So that could be pshat. It could be that Yirmiyahu is saying that this is very real, and Yirmiyahu is writing this in the Churban while experiencing the Churban itself. The other pshatim. What does it mean if somebody has tears on their cheek? Not commenting on anybody's costumes yesterday. You might have seen like the tattoo. Or, yeah, not commenting on that. But what does it mean? Think about it. If somebody has tears on their cheek, so Rashi over here says, "Mitokshi bocha tamid," because she's crying constantly. Usually what happens, what happens to tears usually after you cry? They dry up, they fall down, they're off. But she has tears on her cheek, meaning that it's just a constant stream. Like, you know, like one of those like anime, you know, like just like a straight streak of constant tears on the cheek. Another pshat, though, that's what Rashi says, but another possibility is that if you have tears on your cheek, so what does that indicate about your chevra? If you have tears on your cheek. Because you're crying? So if you have somebody that cares about you, they wipe off the tears. Right? Meaning, let's say it's not constant. You cried. Tears, they'll dry up eventually, but they're still there, and no one's wiping those tears, and that actually fits in with the pasuk, right? Because we say, "V'dimasa lechaya in lo menachem mikolava." She doesn't have a menachem. She doesn't have somebody helping her out. And then let's take a look at this next Rashi because it's very interesting. Rashi says, "Kol reyaha ohaveha." What's strange about that? Rashi says, Kol Re'eha Ohaveha. What does that mean? Kol Re'eha. How would you translate Kol Re'eha? all her friends, all her fellows, right? And what's ohaveha? Her lovers, those who expect to love her. So why is Rashi? Two questions. First of all, why does Rashi feel like we need a translation? Reha is a common word, right? We know that. Reim ahovim. We know the word reim. We're quite familiar with the word reim. Why does Rashi say reim? Oh, that's a hard one. Let me help you out. Ohaveha. Why does Rashi say that? And what's even more strange than that? What's even more strange about Rashi translating ohaveha? Sorry, reya as ohaveha. Look back at the pasuk. What? Like we have that there, right? It says that there's no menachem from kol ohaveha and kol reyehu bagdava. All her friends betrayed her. So what's Rashi doing? So it could be what Rashi's saying is that they're this is one group. Right? You might think it's like a couple different groups, but it's actually one group. And that they were these ohaveha, which is a much stronger relationship than reyeha, right? So these ohaveha, they should have wiped the tear off Yerushalayim's cheek. There's dimasan lechaya, and in la menachim yikol ohaveha. She has ohaveha, she has ohavim, she has loved ones. But in la menachim yikol ohaveha. And when they don't console her, you know what happens? When you're not there for your friend when they really need you, you become demoted. So you're not ohaveha anymore. So now you're reyeha. And kol reyeha though, bagduva. So friends, so maybe, you know, just stam friends, fellow people, countrymen. Okay, so you know what? You get along, your acquaintances, you don't fully depend on them. If they don't wipe the tear off your cheek, okay. What are you supposed to do? But bagduba, that they betrayed her, that's unacceptable. Even if you're not besties, to betray somebody, someone you know gives you trust and you betray them. Hayula l'ayavim. What do they turn into? Enemies. So it's this regression of Oaveha, who then become Reyeha, who then become Oyevin. And this is indicative of a slippery slope in relationships, in all relationships, but especially in relationships between us and Hashem, that it's a fine line between, you know, Ohaveha and Oyeveha, right? The lovers and the enemies of Hashem, of people, and Reah has like a step in between. But when you don't step up when you need to be there, when you're not, you know, demonstrating the ohaveha, you can fall into reyeha. And Hashem says, okay, what can I expect of you? And if you fall shorter than that, you already turn into the enemy. But it's you know, this is relationships. Relationships need constant work. All relationships basically need constant work. And any relationship that you can say is marked by ahava requires work and effort. It's part of what we do here. Right? There's so much invested, so much love that's invested into camper counselor relationships, and that produces a strong bond. But it's only because there's so much work, hard work, underlying all of it that we do here. But that's our relationship with Hashem as well. And Hashem has expectations for us. Hashem says we're in relationship, and then you're not showing up. What's going on? Okay, so let's take a look at the next pasuk. Golsa Yehuda Meoni Meoni Umerova Voda Hiyashova Gayim Lomatsama Noah. So Yehuda was exiled Meoni. So that means from suffering. Rashi says Machmas Oni is exiled because of the suffering. Umirov avoda, Yeshua Goyim, because of the great avoda, the great work, she now sits among the nations. Lo matza manoach. She has not found manoach, menucha, a resting place, a place to take it easy. Korod veha vehisigua bein hamitzarim. All those who chase after her will be able to catch her between the straits. So the 3 weeks has a name, right? What's the term for the 3 weeks other than the 3 weeks? Bein Hamitzarim, between the straits, between the things that are difficult, and those that we refer to are obviously Shavuos, Bar Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. That's how. But this phrase is what we're speaking about. There's a lot to talk about. Well, we're going to spend a little bit of time on the end of this pasuk. There's a famous verse on the end of this pasuk that we're going to speak about tomorrow. But let's try to analyze some more of these phrases that we had here. So Yehuda is exiled because of suffering. Golsida me'oni. Umeirov avoda, and because of great work, she sits among the goyim. What does that mean? What do you mean she's exiled because of suffering? Open to Pshatim. Yerushalayim is exiled because of suffering. Because of this great work, yeah?
Yes, because of the suffering that we caused her by ruining that relationship, it's almost as if she's in exile by not being like part of us anymore. She's distancing herself from us.
So she's doing social distancing. Why? What's suffering?
Because we're different. Because of the distance that we caused, some sufferings that we caused her, she decided to distance herself from us.
So it's almost like a self-inflicted exile. Golsa Yehuda Meoni, that Yehuda was exiled because of some affliction, because of some suffering. It's that, Yehuda is not Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is not exiled, right? Exile means kicked out of somewhere. Yerushalayim is not kicked out of somewhere. So we must be talking about the nation. But it's right, so the nation, Golsa Yehuda, Klal Yisrael, or the last of the Shvatim, were exiled because of this suffering. And from great Avoda, Meirov Avoda, it sits among the Goyim. And Lo Matza Manoach can't find this Manoach, this Menucha, a place to rest. So Rashi says by Umirov Avoda, Sheikh Bidu Aleha Kazdim, that the Kazdim, oppressed them. That there was some sort of, right, and he Yashva Bagahim, Makom Shagosa, Vyashva Sham, Lomatsa Manoah. Right, so that's the next step. So basically, when the Kazdim came in, and when the Bavliim came in, they enslaved the Jewish people, they afflicted them. It could be that Golsa Yehuda Meoni is from a place of affliction. While in a state of affliction, they were exiled. And from great Avoda, they sat among the nations. And Lo Matza Manoach, Rashi says that even once they were exiled, they couldn't find Manoah. They couldn't find Manoah. So does anybody know where that phrase comes up? Where's the first time in the Torah we see the Lashon of Manoah? Excellent. You can say it too? Very good. Right. Oh, we also sing it every Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lashon of Manoach and Matzah Manoach that the dove that Noach sent out of the Teva, the Yonah, was not able to find Manoach. Wasn't able to find a place to rest its feet. We know on Shabbos we sing Yom Shabbosim. Does anybody ever look into the words and knows what it's about? So the main thing it's talking about is the Matan Torah of Shabbos, but a use of lashon of Yonah Matzav O Manoah that this dove flies out and it finds Manoah, it finds a place to rest its feet. So you just imagine it's such a good mashal for Shabbos that you see the dove is like flapping its wings like for a week, trying to. You know, go across the earth looking for a place to land, and it can't find anything, and it's just crazy and chaotic, and it feels like it's about to pass out and fall into the waters of the earth and die. And then finally, it finds a resting place. It finds a Manoah, right? Yonah Matzav O Manoah, ay, right? That's the experience of Shabbos. A Jew like flapping his wings during the week, gonna drown, and Baruch Hashem Shabbos. I land on Shabbos. I found Manoah. Menucha, right? Shabbos, your menucha. The base of Mikdash is also called menucha, right? As we say, another Shabbos song. Baruch Hashem Asher Nasan Menucha Lihamo Yisrael, right? Another song. That pasuk is quoted from Shlomo Melech after the building of the base of Mikdash. Being in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, with the base of Mikdash is called menucha. Shabbos is called menucha. And we're trying to get this menucha, we're trying to get this manoach, we're trying to get this being settled, like a dove, like the dove in Parshas Noach, trying to be settled and survive. And when we're outside of the land, lo matzav Noach, things are rough in Eretz Yisrael, things are rough in Yerushalayim, very challenging. But when we're exiled, lo matzav Noach, we couldn't find that. We can't find that contentment. We can't find that place of resting and functioning properly. That doesn't exist in Golos. Bezes Hashem, tomorrow we'll do these last five words of the pasuk. Kol Rafa Yisigu Benim Sarim, a very important discussion that it's a reflection of all of our Avodas Hashem.